Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
College Ball Show returns. I am your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Marshall, will be joining me very, very shortly. Well, we had another week in the books, and just in case you forgot, the college football regular season is the best regular season in all of organized sports, hands down. It's not up for debate. If you can't accept it, that's your own problem. And last week was a prime example why that is a fact and remains a fact, and it'll never change. It'll never change. We had upset after upset, and if we didn't have an upset, we had a razor-tight game. Whole lot of them. We had two undefeated teams get beat. 4-0 got beat in the top 10 alone. If you look at the top 25, throughout the top 25, there were several other upsets that we'll get to, and many razor-close endings. So both Florida teams outside of the Power 5, Central Florida and South Florida, had to come back to win by a point, for Christ's sakes. We're also going to bring up – so obviously we got to start with recap from a Week 7 – like I said, that saw a whole lot of action going on. We're definitely going to, you know, break down and predict week 8. Lots on the table for that. Number 3, Clemson versus number 16, NC State. They're unbeaten. Untested, though. Number 6, Michigan, who seems to be turning the corner offensively, taking on number 24, Michigan State. Number 5, LSU, who just handled Georgia in week 7. They're taking on number 22, Mississippi State. Number 12, Oregon, who got a big win over Washington. They take on the other Washington, Washington State, who is now up to 25 in a variety of more games, whether they're marquee matchups or games under the radar. Ball Show, we love to talk betting lines. Spreads, against the spreads, upsets of the week, all sorts of stuff. So stay with us for just a little bit over an hour or so as we break down last week and take a look at this week. Because like I said, there's a whole lot on the schedule to be happy about if you're a hardcore college football fan. And hey, there's a variety of marquee matchups, so the casuals will be happy as well. So anyway, before we get into it, though, if this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, we stream it live right here. It also archives on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. So it's under the Ropeadope Radio podcast. That's the College Ball Show. We start in late August. We take it all the way to the NCAA championship. That's like about mid-January. We'll have a recap show as well. And then, for those who like college basketball, that's why we call it the College Ball Show, because after football, we go to college basketball. So that's like mid-January, right? We take that all the way till April, through March Madness, through the Final Four, the championship game. And then we figure, if you like college basketball, you're probably going to like the NBA playoffs. So then we take it all the way to the NBA playoffs, through April, May, June, through the finals, through free agency, through the draft. Heck, we have like four or five shows this summer that we normally don't do because of all the bonanza of what goes on now in the summers for free agency. And, you know, I know LeBron moved last year, but there's so many more people available on the market, or will be available on the market. But anyway, you can also, you know, we don't just have the show here on Block Talk. We also are available under the Rope It Up Radio Podcast at iTunes, a.k.a. Apple Podcasts, Player FM, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn. Really, basically anywhere you listen to podcasts, you'll find us there. We're also a member of the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network. So you can check out the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network all across podcast networks. Also, it streams live on iHeartRadio if that's what you're into. And it streams live on Spotify, so you can listen to the show in a variety of ways. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. It's football. It's basketball. It's boxing. It's baseball. It's everything in between. They even talk Canadian football, for Christ's sake. So that tells you the detail going on over there. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. Read an article. I do weekly picks for college football and then college basketball. Maybe listen to a podcast right there. And while you're at it, why don't you place a bet? Place a bet at the mybookie.ag. They got a great sponsor over there. I'll link it right to mybookie.ag. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host here in just a moment as we break down all the carnage that was left over from a wild week in the sport of college football. Like I mentioned, USF, South Florida, they won 25-24 last week, last Friday, and they had to come back to do it. And it was pretty wild how, you know, these were the two teams that were like kind of neck and neck last year, and their game was phenomenal. I remember that near the end of the season. UCF, who's, you know, was 10th last week, University of Central Florida, they had to beat Memphis 31-30 in comeback style. So it was pretty crazy just in general. And that's just outside the non, you know, the, what do they call them? The, not the non-power five. They don't call them the group of five. That's what it is. So all the other things, not the power five. Let me go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall. What's going on, Marshall, man? How you doing?
I'm good, brother. I mean, you got NBA going, college football going, NFL, baseball playoffs. Life is very good for a sport fan, and I definitely have a couple things to rant about on this show that are enjoyable.
All right. I got something to talk about your boy. And when I say your boy, if you've listened to the show, people, you know exactly who I'm talking about. But
the one and only.
The one, I don't know about the only. Well, I'm just going to leave it there. I'm just going to say it for once. Lane Kiffin. It's the first time said it. So we're getting it right off. Let's start right there. Screw this. Let's move everything aside. I got a problem with your boy Lane, okay? This freaking degenerate. That's right. I said it. This degenerate, and don't get me wrong, we're gambling degenerates too. From Florida Atlantic, where he signed like a 100-year contract, because, you know, he can't get another job, so he's going to be there for a while. Well, I'm talking about head coaching. He can get an offensive coordinator job if the talent's right. Anyway, he offered, this freaking degenerate Lane Kiffin offers a scholarship to Matt Leinart's 11-year-old son. Okay?
Yep.
Here's a guy that once tendered David Sills when he was 13 years old to play at USC when he was there. This guy
that
will
kid
stop
at damn good.
At 5'7". He's 5'7 and 11 years old. Wow. So, your guy is out here offering not ninth graders, not 10th graders, Not even a freaking 13-year-old boy. This guy is where is he going to stop? I mean, golly, unbelievable. He turned out to be pretty good, of course. He ended up playing wide receiver because he felt like he was the scholarship from Kiffin hurt him early, so he couldn't play. He had the wide receiver. It mentally screwed him. That's what he said. No, I'm just kidding. But what's up with your boy, dude? 11 years old? Isn't that some sort of pedophile law or something like that?
Oh, my God. Hey, when you have an eye for talent like he does, you know.
Oh, yeah, he's got an eye for it. He's got an eye for it, all right. Little 11-year-old boys, he's got an eye for it. That's what you're telling me right now.
Uh-huh. All right, well, you know, actually, this is a perfect parallel for me. We're going to go on the Lane Kiffin coaching tree. So a man that has a branch near him going back to his USC days is Coach Orgeron. Last year on our pod, I remember Scott was like, and you were like, I don't know. And you didn't rip it, but almost all of America was like, stupid hiring. What the hell are they having Coach O coach at LSU for? I think that speech is about to be over, Chris, because they smacked Georgia in the damn mouth, and they destroyed them. This was a Georgia team that a couple weeks ago people were saying, well, what if them and Bama go undefeated? And, you know, there was this whole, well, what if these teams don't lose games? Like, what are we going to do for the Final Four? Well, Georgia got their ass whooped, and it wasn't a game. And I
they didn't
feeling.
Even score to the second half, for Christ's sake.
And this was after Florida battled LSU hard. The one thing I had against LSU this game was, man, you just had a massively tough physical game against Florida on the road, and you lost a
right.
tight one. And then you come back at home and smack them. So clearly the players are buying into the coach. We talked about this a month ago, about maybe he isn't the best X's and O's guy, but my guy, I bet those kids run through a wall for him. And then you have a guy like Kirby Smart, and Chris, you can rip me on this or you can say I'm right, but his pregame comments, I think, have shown there's become a certain level of arrogance or complacency there. Because
I didn't hear.
I can't. I'm sorry. I think it's Janie Erdahl. I forget who does the main CBS games. I think it's her. She's great on the sidelines. The first question was, she's like, so, Coach, you know, we've seen that, you know, with Joe Burrow, he's kind of an interesting quarterback, but he kind of has a gritty sense to him. How did y'all prepare for this LSU style of offense? And his quote was, it doesn't matter who the player is. We practice hard. We smack people in the mouth. That's all we do. And her other question, I believe, was something effective. Well, you know, come on the road to LSU. This is your first tough match of the year. How do you get your players mentally prepared for the situation? Well, this game is no different than the others. We're just going to go and do our thing. Both answers she asked were fair questions about LSU. Both his responses we gave were, oh, dude, another day in the park. Why should I dare answer about a specific player or team? This is just another day of walking around. Now, for me, as a coach, when I hear that from a coach, that's saying, dude, we don't care about people. We're superior to all of them, you know, and why should my players worry? Well, they sure worry because he got smoked. Now, I get that as a coach sometimes, Chris, you give the cliche answer. But when she's like, dude, are you nervous about playing Death Valley? Are you nervous about Joe Burrow? And he gave, nah, we don't care about people. We do our own thing. Well, your own thing sucked, and he got rolled. So go LSU. I could be going to the top on Kirby Smart, but I think that's maybe an idea of complacency and another nice win for an LSU season that continues to stay good. Now, Bama's coming up soon, but keep on doing what you're doing, Coach O. I love it. End of rant one.
All right, so the second part, I hear you. The first part, I hear you. The second part, we hear that from a lot of coaches. This is just another game. We're going to treat it like another game. We're not going to act all special. We're not going to act all low. It's another game. We're going to treat it like another game. It's another opponent. The second thing, I don't have a problem with. The first thing, I think you have a point, though. I do think you have a point on your first complaint there and how he answered that question. The second one, though, as far as, you know, You hear that a lot, man. We're going to compare. We're going to prepare every week. The same week is the same thing. You know, I don't mind the second part, but I think you do have a point on the first part, though, for sure. And man, I mean, 275 freaking yards, 51 carries, 5.4. And when you're at a 5.4 clip, when you run it 51 times, that's saying something. You're not running the option. That's saying something. And four turnovers as well. You know, fumbles lost, two picks, two fumbles. They were pretty – both of them got in a lot of third down situations, so they weren't necessarily great on that. But 4 for 4 on fourth down, and that just kind of goes along with what you're saying as far as just smacking them in the mouth. Because if you're 4 for 4 on fourth down, that's just disrespectful. You're showing the other team no respect. You're just like, nah, let's go for it again. Nope, run it again. Nope, run it again. They can't stop us. Run it again. You know, so they got something brewing in there. It's good that they got a veteran quarterback who, by the way, bounced back from he finally kind of came back. Well, I hate to say came back to earth because it wasn't like his numbers were skyrocketing, but he did manage the game. He didn't manage the game. He had a poor game, but he managed to bounce back and score touchdowns, you know, that were pretty close to the goal line. And it's good that they got a veteran QB because now they can, you know, produce something when this guy leaves. It kind of buys them another year. That's what I remember saying about Miami at the beginning of the year, that I really wanted a redshirt senior to work because it buys him another year to develop these guys. And unfortunately, that hasn't been the case as far as the redshirt senior for Miami, for LSU. And you're right, they still have plenty left to try to accomplish. Their loss was, you know, in conference as well. So they're going to have to win out more than likely. I mean, you can never really say for sure, but it seems like that, especially with the tide just keeps rolling. Yeah, man, pretty damn impressive. And like you said, I mean, 36-16, running that much, that is just a butt whooping. And you didn't even get on the scoreboard to the second half. Definitely, man. Definitely
and
a butt.
And my only point to wrap that one up, Chris, is the fact that I think you saw that maybe Georgia's quarterback isn't quite a developed passer. I know it's always kind of been the rip on Fromm of, is he a good throwing quarterback? Well, in this game, a situation where you can't run the ball like Georgia likes to because you get down, he didn't have that great of a game. Now, in fairness to him, LSU's got an elite secondary. But in a situation where Georgia always loves to run the ball, control the clock, when you flip it, there maybe is a couple of more steps of progress he could make as a quarterback in regards to passing the ball. And that could have been exposed a little bit this past Saturday.
And just to kind of cap it off, the Tigers of LSU. Well, first of all, Georgia's dream died in LSU. We got to say that to keep with this theme. But that was their largest victory over a top two school, or top two ranked Associated Press, in school history. It was their biggest victory facing a top two squad. So,
wow. Awesome.
That's pretty damn impressive, man. Especially the way they do it. To win by 20, the way they do it on offense, that's damn impressive, man. Because they kind of what Alabama was a handful of years ago on offense. You know what I mean? Where you're like, well, they're going to run it, and they're going to try to run it, and then they may try to run it one more time, then they're going to pass. They'll pass. But then they're going to go back to the run. You know what I mean? They're heavy on the run. And the way they just wear you down, and then they may blow open the game. Obviously, that's not the case with Alabama for quite some time now. But it reminds me of that way, and to win by that much, that's saying a lot. And like I said, there was a variety of upsets throughout the top 25, four inside the top 10. And one of them I didn't see coming. A couple of them, obviously, I didn't see coming. But this one, Michigan State gets the job done, 21-17. Penn State goes down not totally swinging. Really fun game, though. definitely a fun game to watch. If you not maybe, you know, maybe if not, if you're not a, if you are a Nittany Lion fan, it probably actually wasn't that fun for you. But to me, it's like, this one was a little strange because it just seemed like it took a while for this game to kind of evolve. It was like four, I think it was 14-7 at half. Neither side, there was a ton of three and outs on both sides. It took a while. I did think that early in the second half, there was an interception from Penn State. I thought, okay, here they go. They got a lead. They're going to break, you know, they're going to open it up a little bit. And that wasn't the case. They turned right around and had a four-play negative one drive, a turnover on down. So, meaning they got a first down and lost a bunch of yards. And not long after that, 2 minutes later, you know, they had a touchdown. Then there was a fumble. Then there was a missed field goal. Yeah, they got a field goal later. But it just seemed like Penn State couldn't get out of their way, and I really felt like they were about to take over the game, and they did, just miscue after miscue after turnover on downs. Now, they did get it to 17-4, or, you know, they did jump up and get the lead there, but it didn't last a whole long time, and I got to give credit. You know, Michigan State's not having a great year for their, you know, for the last 8-10 years or whatever, if you break it down that way, but after that field goal that got them down by three again, Michigan State had a long drive. In fact, it was a 10-play drive, 4 minutes, and they turned it over on downs. And I thought, all right, I'm watching this game going, yeah, that's probably it. They're probably going to be done. But once again, the defense stood up, and they ended up getting the touchdown with like a minute to play. Nice drive, 8-yard drive. Their quarterback the quarterback for Michigan State is not as good as, you know, they've been at that position, but he had a damn good game. And they threw the damn ball. I knew they threw it a lot, but they threw it 52 times. They're only 24 or 52. But that one kind of surprised me. And then Penn State, you could tell they were having a lot of miscues because they had a back that ran for a 162 on only 17 carries. They had 205 total. They didn't turn the ball over left and right. It felt like Penn State should have, it was just a matter of time where they're going to take over the lead, or not take over the lead, but take over the game. And they just never did, leaving the door open for those Spartans to kick it right in. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, you know, and McSorley, I'm not the biggest fan. I know a lot of people love him. He definitely did not have a good game to his standards or for anything. He was only 19 of 32 for 192 yards. That's not impressive nowadays football. Last week he'd ran all over the place. This week he had 13 carries for 37 yards. And again, he has kind of had to step up and take the role of being him slash Saquon Barkley. And you can't replace a guy who's making NFL guys look like they're trying to video game tackle. You know, so some of it's unfair, but someone – you need to almost hear in a game, Chris, where, okay, some Penn State receiver had 10 catches for a 120. Or, I mean, I guess their running back was 17 carries for 162 yards, so you got some help. But I just think their offense, it's got to be super hard to replace such an explosive player because he's a once in kind of a decade
generational
guy.
Type guy, yeah.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, I almost want to go generation, absolutely. And Sparty, you know, besides maybe the last year, this is a team that is almost guaranteed to have an upset every year. You know, you said they've been a little rough lately, and that's true. But D'Antoni, they're almost D'Antonio. I'm getting confused with him and the Houston Rockets guy, even though I think it's spelled very similar. They're almost always a guaranteed to beat Michigan, Ohio State, or Penn State on a given year. That's just the crafty, scrappy team that they are. So props to them. And now you're going to enjoy this. I'm going to rip myself.
Hang on.
Oh, okay.
Just to close that up, talking about the head coach there, in the last 15 games at Michigan State, in the last 15 games versus AP top 10 teams, so there's been 15 games against top 10 teams as a head coach, He's 10-5 in those games. That's freaking awesome.
Point spreads or wins?
No, straight up. Going against a team
Jesus.
That's in the top 10. The last 15 times out, 10-5. And it's
that's
not
nuts.
Like they got crazy, crazy talent. You know what I mean?
No.
He's not in the top 10 for recruiting and stuff like that. So it's pretty damn impressive.
I thought my compliment was pretty true. I didn't know it was that good, but wow. That's damn impressive. Chris, you're 100% right. Now, I'm happy you let me delay my ripping myself. I've given out some good picks. I had to grind and sweat. I took the UCF money line last week, and oh my God, I'll touch that game a little bit after, but they barely beat Memphis. But I said bet West Virginia first half. They were -4 or -5, I believe, first half. That was massively wrong. Now I know that Iowa State is a tough team at home. They're like the mini brother of Kinnick at night, because Iowa State at night is pretty dangerous. They're not Iowa, they're pretty darn good. But I mean,
yeah.
This wasn't even ever a game. It just simply wasn't. David Montgomery, who's the stud running back for Iowa State, 29 carries, 189 yards. Will Greer threw 15 passes. He is the arguably best quarterback in college football for a pro style. He threw 15 passes, Chris. They ran the ball 27 times.
Yeah, that's
crazy,
dude.
They never had to bleep them ball.
I didn't know that. I actually didn't know that. Holy shnikes.
Yeah.
If
you had said at what point in the game would Will Greer throw his 15 pass, I'd be like, middle of the second quarter, late second. No, for the game. So
that could have been a good first quarter in some of these games.
Yeah.
He could definitely acquire that 11 for 15 for 100 yards. Oh, my God.
I know. But to counter that or make why it makes sense, Iowa State, 47 carries, 244, 5.2 bucks a clip. I mean, props to them. You shut down one of the best offenses, in my opinion, the best NFL-style quarterback in the game. And like you said, it never was a game. West Virginia didn't score in the second half. I just – massive props. I was massively wrong. I'll eat crow. I normally don't blow picks that bad, but I thought West Virginia would put up a fight. I didn't guarantee a win. I thought they'd come out high in the first half, but – dude, they just got rolled.
Well, they looked
and
good
yeah,
at 7-0. And when it was 7-0, they looked good. And
true.
Then that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll never see that again, though. Will Greer, 100 yards passing. I don't believe he got hurt. I don't think there was any elbow, shoulder, hand contusions. Just, dude, I don't have the ball. I have no rhythm. Screw this. So, just great win by Iowa State. They've now beat Oklahoma State and West Virginia in the past 2 out of 3 weeks. That's a very good start after maybe people are a little bit scared at the start of their season. They're doing what they do and just kicking out people who, you know, are ranked and above them in the Big 12 like they've been doing for the past 2-3 years, Chris. That Coach Campbell's a hell of a coach. I think they must be sweet-talking him to stay there because he didn't get a job this year, but I don't know how many more years you're going to be able to keep him before you're writing out a very nice check in Ames.
Yeah, they must have some pitchers on him or something. I don't know. But West Virginia, that embarrassing 152 total yards is the worst output since 1995. And ironically, it was against Iowa State. And it's the last time that they went for a 152 was in 1995. And it just so happens that it was the same school. Obviously not the same coach, but that's just – how ironic is that, man? That's really really strange. Really, really strange. By the way, I meant to clear this up too – or not clear this up, but add to LSU. That's their third top 10 win this season so far when they're ranked, you know. When they played the team, that's their third top 10 victory for LSU this year. That's pretty wicked. So that was another undefeated team that went down. We had Georgia that went down. We had West Virginia. Now there's only four left, right? I think there's only four, or there's four left, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Four left that are unbeaten. Notre Dame just barely got by Pitt, 19-14. That's one where we thought, you know, take a look at that spread potentially. We'll talk about a variety of other games too. Texas and Baylor, 23-17. Baylor had a chance to win that game at the buzzer.
Sir.
They actually threw a ball in the end zone to win the game. Tried to anyway. Didn't happen. Texas looked better. And it just seemed like as the game went on, Baylor just inched closer and closer and closer. Florida backed up their win from last week. Had a solid win on the road, 37-27. Got the job.
You're right, but it wasn't solid till later, because they were down 21-3, and then actually.
Right, I'm
it
saying
took
it got a solid. Oh, to win, though. Yeah, you're right. I didn't tell that story. You're right. They were down by, like, what were they down? They were down by a lot. You're right. 18.
Yeah, I think it was 21-3. Yeah. And then it took a dirt I don't know. ESPN made a big deal out of it. I don't know if I'd call it a dirty hit, Chris. It's what that when we grew up playing football, if there was a punt going on and you were the punt return team and you're a lineman, your job was to turn your head after the punt was made and try to clip a defensive guy. I shouldn't say clip. Try to hit a defensive player who's trying to make a tackle. And there was a crackback block that was, I mean, about as good as you can do. And the Florida guy just smoked the Vanderbilt guy. And I believe it was a clean hit. But it was so hard of a hit, you know, getting tossed out of the game. As the coaches from the Vanderbilt side went to check on their player who was near the Florida sidelines. There started being a lot of trash talking amongst the coaches. It got pretty heated, pretty ugly. The Vanderbilt guys then came on the field. They had to get separated. So emotions got high. I guess after that play, the script kind of flipped. Now, I don't think nowadays that a perfect crackback hit should be illegal, but the way football's been going, they threw him out. But that kind of spurred Florida on from that point on. But ESPN made a big deal, like, oh, the coaches were fighting and arguing. It's like, dude, that was a good, clean hit. And I'm guessing Vanderbilt said a couple of comments and Florida fought back. But a little drama that I thought, you know, a couple years ago we don't have. But and I kind of felt bad for the guy who got ejected. Just because you laid out a guy, like, with a perfect, good,
right,
huge hit, I don't think nowadays that should lead to it. But it did. And that's probably one of the reasons Florida's pretty ticked off too, Chris.
Yeah, you're probably right. I only saw the second half of this game, but you're right. They Florida definitely they got down early, 21-3, and I think it was 21-13 at half. That's when I started watching.
Mm-hmm.
But it's especially to start that way, you know, coming off a big high, to start that way, you know, to be down like that. That was pretty good, man. That Franks is starting to really come around for them under center. Your squad, USC, at home, got the W against, they were ranked. I don't think they're going to be ranked anymore. 31-20, Colorado. I'll finish that sentence. And A&M snuck one by on the road against South Carolina, 26-3. Auburn, you know, when you're down, you're down and out sometimes, man. You just keep kicking them to the ground. It's like we've mentioned them, and now every week it's just like gets worse for them. It's like a long staircase, and they just keep falling down the step. I'm assuming they better be out of the top 25 because they were 21 last week, lost to Tennessee,
yeah,
who's actually showing some life, Tennessee is. I'm kind of looking at their spread against I think they play Bama. I'm looking at their spread, and I'm going, can they get under that? I wonder. But 30-24, that's definitely the biggest victory for Tennessee. We're going to get into the Canes losing on the road, which they had some struggles. No way. Can't believe that. They lost 16-13. Michigan, though, this is one of the bigger games of the week. Ratings-wise, I think it was the biggest game of the week. Michigan wallops Wisconsin 38-13. This was a tight game for a little while in the first half, no doubt about it. But Michigan came out in the first or in the second half, had a 10-play drive, 75 yards, over 4 minutes, got up 21-7, and just never looked back. They just smoked them. And now, you know, Taylor got his 100 yards, but it really didn't matter. They did actually kind of use a variety of guys to run the ball, but in the end it didn't really matter because, you know, Michigan was the one running the ball. 48 carries, 320 yards, three touchdowns. Their longest one was 81. They had about 8 different guys touching the ball. That's pretty crazy. So they definitely spread it around, and they had a little, you know, little fun stuff going on too. They did have that. Was it a pick six? I think it was a pick six late too. That really broke open the game, but they didn't really need it much out of Patterson. They had the defense, they had the running game, and, you know, that was an ugly game one for Michigan. That said, though, they lost 24-17, so it's not like they got beat in that. You know, as we know, Notre Dame is still unbeaten. What do you think about this game? And we're, you know, I kind of feel like, I was going to say, where do you rate Michigan now? Do you think that they got a team now? They got the quarterback a little settled, and he could also run, which I think will come in handy in these big games. Obviously, we're going to find out a whole lot about him this weekend, Michigan and Michigan State coming up. How'd you see this game playing out? A very impressive performance from Michigan. And are they ready to take that step to actually go to the Big Ten championship game? I know they got a lot of – they still have challenges. I'm not giving it to them. But at this point, how confident do you feel like that?
All right, first thing, I'm still pissed about losing a bet 3 years ago of the – I parlayed Missouri with Michigan, and it was that damn freaking botched punt play. So when you mentioned Michigan, Michigan State this week, I was like, I can't wait to see that Fox commercial of that kid they found in the end zone who looked like he'd just seen a ghost whose face had dropped, and that, oh, God, that play was freaking one of a kind. Aside from flashbacks and nightmares, this is the first time, I'd say in a long time, first time in quite a while, since we've done our show, that Wisconsin does not have an elite defense. They have it this year an average defense by numbers. Now, in fairness to them, they could probably use another Russell Wilson transfer in kind of guy. This is the second year they have Hornibrook. Still really can't do crap passing the ball. He cannot perform against a high-caliber defense. He did have a stretch last year where he finished hot against your Hurricanes in the bowl game. He started off this year good, but that was like a three-game stretch. Now that's like disappeared and gone away. So part of it is, God forbid, the offense helped them out. But that's not happening this year. All the numbers are against them. This is the worst team they've had in quite a while, and they don't have an offense to help them out. Unfortunately, they have an incredibly great running back, maybe one of the best running backs in the country. But with all that I said, as you said, you now got a Michigan team who's rolling in the right direction, an offense that keeps getting better and better under Shea Patterson. You have an elite head coach in Harbaugh. And, again, that running game, they couldn't stop them. It seemed like every time you watch the game, Michigan had the ball. Hornibrook had a couple of, dumb plays. Like you said, after about the second quarter, the game was just kind of done. Also, from what I saw, the special teams for Michigan looked pretty good. They had quite a few nice long punt returns. So all facets of the game, they just didn't really have a chance. And it's weird to say Wisconsin's defense isn't perfect, but from a standard of the defense players, like, dude, could we have a legit offense for once? You know, I'd be excited.
And this is supposed to be their best year. This is supposed to be their best offense year since Wetzel's is there, 2011 or something like that. I mean, it all all signs point to that, but it just hasn't happened.
Yeah. It's just you need just a little more of a threat. If they had a half-decent passing threat, that team would be scary. Because a lot of people say they have one of the best offensive lines in the country and one of the best running backs. So you have everything. You just don't have a passing game. And that makes life tough when you're playing elite teams.
Yeah, that's well said. And what he was saying.
Go ahead. Sorry. I was jumping the gun. I'll let you wrap up. I have another game to get to, which is just I can't help but smile. But I'll let you finish on Wisconsin, Michigan wrap up.
Well, I'm just going to wrap up to kind of, you know how like there's an open wound and you spray like lemon into it and put some salt into it and blow
sure.
on it and stuff like that? The score was 23-21. Michigan State's undefeated. 10 seconds left. All they had to do was punt the
frickin' ball. You son of a...
Shit. Oh, he has trouble with the snap! And the ball is free! It's picked up by Michigan State! Jalen Watts Jackson! And he scores! On the last play of the game! And he scores! On the last... This guy's going through puberty. On the goddamn... I didn't notice that before. You got a 15-year-old. It's probably the guy Kiffin is freaking recruiting right now. The kid hasn't even gone through puberty, and they got him calling games. They score! Oh, my God. I remember sitting right here in this same living room. Oh, my God! And that dude broke his hip. Remember they all piled on him? Ended up breaking his hip.
Yep. Oh, I didn't know that.
He was done for the season. Yeah, he was done for the season. Never played again that season. But, hey, if you're ever going to do one thing for a team and never play that rest of the team, I'd say you pretty much did that. It's kind of like Bruce Willis in Armageddon. It's like, all right, dude, you're going to die, but you get to save the Earth. So that's a pretty good way to die.
True.
If there is ever a good way to die. So I just had to relive that for a little bit. That was fucking nuts. All right, go ahead. Let's go to the next game because we got to get to I'm gonna talk a little bit about the Canes, a little bit about the Gophers too.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, USC, nice win. Mizzou. I like to talk about them when they play Bama. At one point, the score was 10-13. At one point, and then the score finished 39-10. And you can guess who scored the next 26 points. Moving on. I said pick this, and it turned out good. I think I said pick this. Northwestern, they're down 7 with like a couple minutes to go on their 1 yard line. What does Northwestern do? They drive 99 yards to score and tie the game up and then beat Nebraska in overtime. Nebraska now 0-6. A 99-yard
drive. First time in school history.
Wherever they had those little line charts, like there's an earthquake, like that would have been like a 2% chance of winning. Who the hell does 99 drives anymore? It's rare. There's too much going on, too many X factors against you, not to mention time. Northwestern drives down. They get their points in, and then they kick a field goal in OT, and then I believe Nebraska had a turnover to cap it off. So hell of a win, and Nebraska, man, Jesus. You're 0-6. They keep saying
they got the coach
the
that they wanted. They're so happy. Ugh.
And you know what, Chris? I'm gonna say they're gonna go 0-7 because you know what? They got the Gophers at home, and PJ Fleck's gonna walk in there and row his boat all the way down to Lincoln and row his boat back home, and Nebraska is gonna be 0-7 because your Gophers are taking them out, sir. I'm feeling confident. I'm in a good mood. Your Gophers take out Nebraska, make them 0-7 for the first time in school history. Hoorah, rah. Or actually, how'd that be? That's
the
Wisconsin
the
thing.
Key
I should have stopped there.
The key, you should have. The key word is my ghost. So I know my ghost. You said your ghost, they're my ghost. I know my ghost. They're losing this fucking game. I'll put my fucking, they're losing the fucking game. I'm a positive person. You mean to tell me they're going to go 0-7? This isn't the Detroit Lions. This isn't the Cleveland Browns. It's the Gophers, dude. They're going to lose the fucking
your
game.
Your Gophers played Ohio State tight. Now, they couldn't score on offense, but you played a competitive game against Ohio State, and you had a couple of miscues, a couple of missed field goals. You played respectable. There's no reason you can't do the same thing against a defense that sucks and beat them. And I'm calling it, that's my first pick of the week. Gophers over Huskers. Lock it in.
Lock it in. You know, the Huskers are favored in that. So Vegas is like, yep, I get you, Chris. I hear you. Yeah, the Gophers did play good, though. The Gophers played good.
They did.
Their offense actually could score in the first half, couldn't score in the second half. And it's not that, the moving the ball wasn't the problem. It was the scoring. We had three turnovers in Ohio State territory. They missed two field goals. It is what it is. They're 3-3, six games left. It'd be great if they could go 3-3 in those games or 4-2. That'd be phenomenal. At Wisconsin's probably going to be a loss. So if you look at it 3-3, I would be pretty damn happy with that. But overall, Anikstead, he's still a young guy, though, so he does – his two picks were – they're like deep bombs that he just overthrew a little bit. The offensive line have two freshmen on it, and they've been starting to play this last couple weeks. One of them's 6'9", 400 pounds. He's true freshman, 6'9", 400 pounds, and he – can move people, if you believe that. We're starting to run right behind them. We got a true freshman, Ibrahim, that ran the ball for like $1.57 or something like that. They're knocking at the door of being a little bit better, no doubt about it. Before we get into one of the biggest games that I can't believe we actually have not gotten to yet, but the Oregon and Washington, as far as Miami goes, the young redshirt freshman had been playing pretty good, started to struggle. They decided to pull him and go with Rozier, who couldn't really get much going anyway. The number of turnover on downs is pretty troubling for Miami in the last year and a half, I'd say. There's a lot of them. So it tells you that the offensive line still needs some work, still needs some meat and potatoes. Because you shouldn't be turning the ball over on downs that many times. This was kind of my worry, though, of playing this youngster because, well, one, I wanted, like we said earlier, I did want him to have another year to develop. But I also didn't want him to put stuff on tape for next year. So now, when a young guy puts stuff on tape, they catch up to it pretty quick and then they go, okay, we got that. Now what can you do? And the young guy usually is like, well, I can't really do anything else right now. I'm going to add six plays for this week, for this game plan. Hopefully I can do those. Then we're going to add another eight next week and that type of thing. And it seems like Nikosi Perry, the young guy, the first couple of games, they had like probably about, 20, 30 plays that he could really do well. And now it does seem like, he's got to find an answer. He's young and dumb, and he knows that if you do get benched, it's not the end of the world. You're going to have a great career. Calm down. No big deal. He's taking it like a man. They do have a bye week this week. Mark Rich has already said, we're going to start the senior and just let it play out and see if he can play pretty good. But we'll see. But, yeah, they lost on the road. Basically all offense. The defense kept turning the ball over and giving them good spots. And then they just three and out or something like that. You know what I mean? It was just, it's just the same old thing right now at this stage. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to bitch. They just won five in a row. I know how bad this program was for so many years and how long it took just to get to 10 wins. That was the first time since 2004. I missed a decade in there. So I'm not ready to go, fire Mark Rick. It's nothing like that. I know where we're at. I know where we're going. I know where recruiting is. I know where we got with this young dude and all that, but it is a little troublesome, to have still a struggling offense and, our best wide receiver's done. Like his career's done. Dude had a neck injury and they've tried to solve it. And in the last couple of weeks, it been real quiet on that front, and we're just like, so what's up with that, you know, this dude? And they finally announced they've been trying to see if they could make it, you know, if something could immaculately happen, but he's done with football in general. If he takes another sustained hit to the neck, he could be paralyzed now. So that kind of sucks, but still, they got wide receiver talent, and they haven't been playing much with them this year anyway. So that's really not a good enough excuse to struggle sometimes as much as they have offensively. But hey, you know, there's it is the Coastal and the ACC. Now Virginia Tech has to lose within the conference, and it'll probably come down to that game. But you know, we'll see if the Canes can bounce back. But one of the biggest games here, Oregon and Washington. And I remember talking about this game. We're going back and forth, back and forth. We thought, is Oregon going to lose another big game at home? You know, last couple of years, they seem like they always lose the big games. And, you know, this obviously the record's much better with this Justin Herbert, a really solid quarterback for him, who had a pretty, you know, a good game. He didn't run the ball much, didn't throw a ton of yards or nothing, but he also didn't get him hurt, didn't do a bunch of negative plays either. 30-27 in overtime. Now, there is some, you know, items to discuss when it comes to Washington in the fourth quarter. There was a moment there, I think it was with, actually I got it written down, Chris Peterson, great coach as we know, but there are two things in the fourth quarter where you go, huh, kind of weird. 10 minutes left, tie game. Washington decides to go for it on fourth and one instead of kicking a field goal, a makeable field goal, but it is college, and he does have an inconsistent freshman kicker. So they decide to go for it. They didn't get it, and in fact, Browning fumbled on the play. Then deeper in, it was really at the end of the fourth quarter. This was a forced overtime. They're first or faced with a third and one from the Oregon 21 with 40 seconds left. Peterson opts to run another play and attempt to get the first down and get closer to the end zone. But he took the game out of the hands of a senior quarterback and put it on that freshman kicker that previously he didn't trust. Maybe it was he felt like, well, I just got burned. Let's do it. So he drained it down to like a couple seconds. I don't know what it was. Actually, let me check. 3 seconds is what it was. Called the timeout, sent the field goal unit out there. And, of course, it's called – well, I shouldn't just say college kicking now because the pros have been just god-awful this year, just completely hot. And they're getting paid. Like, legally get paid. As it turns out, they would miss the field goal, lose in overtime, and Cristobal, Mario Cristobal, got his biggest win at Oregon to date. I know a lot of chatter was going on about that situation and whatnot. And, you know, sometimes when you try to go for it and it doesn't work, you kind of go, well, shit, I don't know. I should have kicked it last time. Let's kick it this time. However you do it. That's basically what I got out of the game. But it was a just tit-for-tat game, 7-7, 14-7. You know, that type of thing. It was the whole game was really tight, well played. And Washington just came up short. Oregon got a big win, a much-needed win, basically after blowing that Stanford game earlier this year. Huge win for the program that's trying to climb back, you know, and take hold of what they had before, which was – you know, one of the top programs in the country.
You know, I liked your summary, so I'll just go a little more in depth with Washington. And I just don't know what to make of Browning. I know last year, like, every preseason show, magazine, podcast I heard was in love with him, and he regressed. And this year doesn't seem to be doing anything special. He's not a garbage quarterback. He's not a joke, but there's just nothing about him that seems to be, like, making him better. It's weird because 2 years, like, 3 years ago, he had a good season. People were high on him with his talent. Last year, he kind of faded back. This year, he's just kind of just doing his thing. I think part of the reason Washington was ranked where they've been this year is because they had faith in their offense and mainly due to Browning's quarterback. So I think part of it is the fact that they're just not scoring as many points as they should. Defensively, Washington's always been pretty solid with Peterson, but I just think this elite quarterback isn't that level anymore, and I think that's been hurting them in some of these games. I mean, their defense played about as good as you could against Auburn. Now, obviously, first game of the year, looking back at Auburn, now a little different story. But I just think it's just weird to see media and people be wrong with quarterbacks. Normally, quarterbacks always take steps up. It feels like he is going backwards, Chris. Now, I'm not a Washington fan. I don't see other games regularly and everything, but just something doesn't quite add up about that team. And to me, it starts with the quarterback, and it's like he's going backwards. Or maybe he got too highly praised, and he's just kind of an average guy. But kind of my thing with him. And meanwhile, for Oregon, you know, Elway was at the game. And I guarantee Elway was not at the game to watch Browning. He used to see Herbert, who his stat line wasn't super sexy, 18 of 32, 202 yards. But, you know, you got a guy that are coming to watch you play. And Herbert has had a pretty darn good year. So maybe we should talk about him as the elite quarterback in the Pac-12 and let Browning take a few steps down. So that's just kind of my spin on that, my friend.
I think it's all hogwash. No, I'm just kidding. yeah, I mean, that's fair. He definitely hasn't had his, you know, maybe he doesn't have as many quick all-purpose weapons as he's had, but
true.
You know, it is what it is. I don't know. They're you do make a point, though. You definitely make a point. There's something he's just not the team itself. I mean, the defense has been playing pretty good, if not, you know, just as good as maybe 2 years ago when they made that nice run. So, yeah, I don't know. That's a good question, though, or a good statement, I should say, not a question. I'm trying to think. Oh, you know what? And this was my upset of the week. It was my upset of the week. Not Oregon. I thought of Oregon because we just talked about him, plus the coach. Good old Chip. Chip Kelly gets his first win as a UCLA Ukala Bruins coach. 37-7. Jeez. Just smashed him, man. Wow. And by the way, just to wrap up that Washington game, they're 1-8 in the last 9 trips to Eugene, which is not a good record. I don't think that's a good record. What do you think? That's not pretty good. That's not that good, is it? Man. All right, so we do need to step on the gas pedal a little bit. We're already almost an hour in. Call is 646-381-4990 if you want to listen to the archive portion. I mean, the whole show are obviously archives, but, you know, we do have, we are, the live stream is going to end is what I'm saying. 90 seconds on cue, the blog talk woman with the British accent, blog talk radio, she just popped in and said 90 seconds. So if you want to jump in, jump in. If you want to just hang out there too and not press one or anything, you want to chill, that's cool too. No problem. Is there anything else you'd like to discuss from week 7 before we dive headfirst into this meaty schedule we have for week 8?
Two things and I'm done. One, our Raging Cajuns dropped 66 points on New Mexico State. Hell yeah.
Woo!
28 points in the first quarter for our adopted team, our Raging Cajuns. They're 3-3 on the year. I think that they're planning on going bowling, Chris. I would love a Raging Cajun bowl preview.
Dude.
They are.
Yeah, man. We're going to do a specific show for it. We're going to do a separate for it.
They're 2-1 at home. That says something about Raging Cajun Field. It ain't easy. They have good food and a good team. Let's go. And, well, there's probably a reason there wasn't a point spread, but you still got the win. If there had been one, I bet they would have covered. South Alabama Jaguars, 45, Alabama State Hornets, 7. That is essentially 3 picks in a row with our wash due to quarterback injuries. The boys are hot.
We're coming.
That's all I got, sir. On to week 8, we roll.
That's all you need. That's all you need. Those are two good updates. Right now, well, not right now, in a little bit, it's 8 Central. Nice little West Coast game here. Stanford's a 1.5 favorite on the road. Stanford 4-2. Arizona State, Herm Edwards, Arizona State 3-3. So I'm looking forward to watching that game. I'm going to watch it on DVR. Going to watch it on DVR, though, because I got some stuff to do after the show. So please, no update, okay?
I've been good on that, though, the past couple of years. For a while, it was pretty
ugly. Yeah, yeah. It only took you 17 years, but yeah, sure, yeah, totally. No, you're right. It happened. You have been good. Well, we might as well start with the game that will – it's one of the biggest games. Yeah, right, 11 a.m. Crack in the morning. That's usually when they have that Michigan-Ohio State game. So, big game, obviously. Both of them coming off really solid wins. It's on the road, right? I think it's on the road.
They're going to Sparty.
Michigan. Yeah, yeah, they're going to Sparty.
Yes, sir.
It's on the road. Yep. Well, it's going to be on the road for somebody. So Michigan is a 7-point favorite. Okay, wow. According to ESPN's Football Power Index, thing that we go by religiously, 68.9. Wow, they almost got it to 69. To 31.3, they favor the Wolverines from Michigan. They really think that they're going to get the job done. They've definitely opened up things offensively. They almost had a bump in the road late September when they were down 17-0 against Northwestern. They turned that around, ended up winning 20-17, and they've been on a run since. They didn't look good in the opener. You know, just breaking down some of these numbers, this is kind of weird here. So, right now, Michigan, defensive-wise, is only giving up 129 through the air, right? Now, Michigan State, Sparty defense, they're only averaging 90, or they're only giving up 62 yards per game for rushing. That's intent. That is really, really good. Problem is, they're giving up 286 compared to 129 in the air, dude. That's a lot. That's a huge discrepancy. And
yes,
it gets worse. Almost 100 yards per game as far as rushing yards. They pass more, which is really weird. They pass a lot more just for more yards and just in general. We talked about how they got to 50 or 55 or whatever last week as far as attempts. Sparty did. So this is kind of a different squad for them. I mean, they threw the ball when they had Cousins back in the day, but still they had a running game, you know what I mean? Not to say they don't have a running game, but it's just not as complete of a team as it generally is. But what's your feeling on this one, man? Michigan State, Michigan. You know, Michigan has been snake bitten, you know, two times under Harbaugh. And you know, we already went over one of them with the punt block. All they got to do is punt the damn ball and not have the guy return it, and that didn't happen, as we know. And then the Ohio State game that ended in overtime, that we still don't know who got the first down or who didn't with JT Barrett.
Uh-huh.
So those two games were like a separation of like two 11-game winning seasons, and one of them would have a trip to the conference final. So he's been right there. If one of those games go his way, we're talking about Harbaugh in a different light. However, that was then, this is now. How do you see this game? Harbaugh needs this game, obviously. It needs a breakout year because the other 2 years I just discussed were breakout years, but they didn't break all the way out. How do you see this one playing out? I'm really with Vegas when it says, well, over-under's 41. I thought it said 47. It's going to be low scoring. I don't know if it's going to be under 41, but how do you see this one playing out here, Marshall?
I just think Michigan's got just too much talent offensively. I mean, if you look at Michigan State scores this year, they dropped 21 on Penn State, 19 in a loss to Northwestern. Then they scored 31 on Central Michigan. Got Kansas lit up Central Michigan this year. 35 Indiana, 13 against Herm Edwards, and 38 against Utah State. I just don't think Michigan State's offense has enough to get it done against Michigan. Now, this is one of those true games, like we mentioned with Oklahoma and Texas a couple weeks ago, about how the scores really don't matter. And I know sometimes that's a cliche, or I should say records don't matter, but this is a game where normally just crazy stuff happens, whether it be the time I bet it or whatever. This game always just kind of, it doesn't really matter who's favored kind of game. I do think, with that being said, though, with it being a 50-50 flip normally, I still think Michigan's got a little too much going for them, an elite defense, and it's going to be really hard for Michigan State to score. And if Shea Patterson keeps progressing, I just think Michigan does enough, Chris. I will take Michigan. I would take Michigan State plus 7, so I bet Sparty, but I would bet Michigan to win. I could easily see this being like a 17-13 type game, or 20-14, a low scoring affair. I'm with the Vegas for over under 41 or 40, but I'll take the Wolverines to beat Sparty.
I like Wolverines to win this game. I'm right around the spread. I'd probably go over, actually, not the spread, but the over under. I'd probably go over, actually, but it's close. It's really close. They're going to have to lean on Patterson on this one, though, because I think they're really going to try to stop the run, and they already stat-wise do stop the run. So when you got a defensive-minded coach with a solid defense that can stop the run, and then they go out of their way to stop the run, that kind of tells you that, you know, Patterson and the skilled players that we keep hearing about, you know, in recruiting over and over again, they're going to have to shine. They're going to have to shine, because neither defense are going to give you a whole lot. It'll definitely be more of a throwback 3 yards and a cloud of dust, or a cloud of tire rubber now, I suppose you could say. But I'm with you there. Michigan gets the job done. A battle of the unbeatens in the ACC, number 2 Clemson versus number 16 North Carolina State. This basically is going to decide who goes to the ACC championship game from the Atlantic Division. If you look at it, this basically decides that. The running back, Travis Eaton, I can't remember his Enteni or Eteni, I can't remember his name, but the dude's got over 700 yards, let me check, 761 rushing yards and 11 touchdowns already. They have been relying heavily on him. They relied heavily for over 200 yards when they had that tight-ass game. They're at home. I'm not seeing them losing this game. Sure, they got, you know, Lawrence is a freshman still. Who knows? Maybe he does some dumb stuff, but I just don't see it. Now, the 17.5 points, I may take a look at. Boston College and Virginia are good teams. None of them are really very good to great by any stretch of the imagination. That's their last two victories. They are coming off a bye as well. Is Clemson coming off the bye too? I don't think so. Yeah, they are. If you're 6-0. Wait. Let me see, actually. Did they get a bye already? Anyway, I like Clemson at home. Yeah, they got a bye as well. So they're both coming off. They're both coming off byes. I just think, you know, Clemson's just too damn talented. I don't know what to even think about this North Carolina team. I saw Virginia play. I've seen Boston College play a couple times. They're decent teams, but they're nothing special. I don't know what to think about NC State. I like their quarterback. He's all right. But I think Clemson's going to get the job done, man. How do you see this one playing out?
I think it would have been nice to see NC State play West Virginia, because I'm with you. They really haven't played anyone that's talented or up to par to give them a classy win. I do think that Vegas is kind of saying, screw you guys. I would look at the spread. Clemson has one by 18 for you to win the bet. I mean, that's saying something right there. I don't think that Clemson's offense has exploded this year under Lawrence, so I would look at betting the Wolfpack, but I'm with you. I think Clemson wins. I think they got past their season scare with the Syracuse game and the injury. Obviously, hopefully that dude's back to being okay. I mean, that still was one of the scariest hits I've ever seen, so it's nice to see him playing football again and fine in one piece. But, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, he played after that, didn't he? Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Because, man, that hit was that just looked so bad on television. I would definitely look at Ben the Wolfpack, though. You can have an incredibly convincing win and beat someone by 17 points. And there are 17.5 points spread. Now, from NC State standpoint, this is their Super Bowl. You know, this year when I've been looking at games, I try to go in more to of a team perspective to help out the betting angle. This is their all-or-nothing game. This is their big, big deal. Clemson, not so much. Not saying they won't get up for it, but this game will not have the emotion, per se, as much as NC State would. So I would love to look at the angles. I've just bet a little money on NC State there, Chris.
Yeah, I definitely am taking a little flyer out on that one and kind of mulling it over. But, yeah, I mean, it seems like – and they got to be – obviously they're going to be confident coming in because, you know, they're undefeated. So,
sure.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that works. So LSU is playing at home against Mississippi State. Will the real Mississippi State – please stand up. We don't know who, what, where, and how, which one will show up. A very good defense, I think. They can run the shit out of the ball, and they like to run it with their quarterback, Fitzgerald. You definitely need to pass the ball, though, when it comes to playing an LSU, you know, defense, historically anyway. In the 2000s anyway, because they are usually hard-nosed. They're usually tough. They're not going to sit there and let you just, you know, run it down their throats per se. You know, they're coming off a big win. I guess you could say they might be riding too high. They're a 6.5-point favorite. I like LSU, man, at home. 6 o'clock kickoff? Forget it, dude. Why even be looking at this game? It's going to be dark. It's going to be dark. And we know what happens at night. We know what happens there. The dreams that come in there, they die. They fall on the ground. They die. And some dude picks up a piece of a blade of grass and eats it. And we know who that is. Les Miles. I like LSU in this game. Not to say that it couldn't be 23-20 or something like that. I'm not going to say they're going to blow their doors out just because they just got done blowing somebody's doors out, and I don't know if they can do it back-to-back, but I like LSU in this one.
I like LSU to win as well. I just don't see how Mississippi State's offense scores on LSU's. I mean, Mississippi State's offense has had trouble. They barely scored on Florida. They beat Auburn, but that's not saying a whole lot, and they didn't beat them convincingly. And I would say LSU's defense is just as good as Florida. They're on Auburn's. It's at
they only put
LSU,
7 on
right?
Kentucky, too, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, I would say LSU's offense with Burrow on the pieces are at least dropping 21 on you, at least at home, probably. So you're going to have to score probably 24, 27 points to beat LSU at their field at night? No way. I love LSU to win the game. I would definitely take the 6.5, too. I just think there's too many issues with Mississippi State's offense to even consider picking them for a win. And shit, if LSU's offense has an off game, you know, their secondary, I mean, there's just too much going in the right direction. One game I also think that's got a pretty similar spread, a little bit of a flip for home team being favored. This time the home team's on the – or, excuse me, the favored team's on the road. Oklahoma's coming down to basically my backyard in Fort Worth. This normally is a pretty high contested game because you have Coach Patterson for TCU. He loves being the underdog role. He almost always covers. His defense comes up with a good scheme. But TCU's quarterback last week, who is, I believe, last name is Robinson, against Texas Tech looked hideous. This is just a quarterback, Robinson, who just isn't that good yet. He's developing. So you have a developing offense against the Oklahoma defense, which I'm guessing is probably going to be pretty ticked off, okay? You got ran out your state fair, well, I should say your neighborhood state fair, embarrassed. Your coach got fired. Now you have to get 2 weeks, 2 weeks of being ticked off, playing defense, the whole nation basically laughing at you. Texas is, like, taking the praise. I think Oklahoma rolls. I know I was a little tough on Murray last game. He had a couple of mistakes, which, unfortunately, he couldn't afford last week to have against Oklahoma because his defense sucked. But I love Oklahoma, Chris, -8. Because, you know, Oklahoma's offense is going to score. Even if Patterson has a couple of game plans. Hell, I saw it last year when they played in the Big 12 title game. Granted, it was Baker. I mean, they lit him up. And Kyler Murray's going to do the same. So I would definitely take Oklahoma to the window. And this is with more common sense than doing my random fun gopher pick. I love Oklahoma to beat TCU by 8. I would say too many factors going against it. Now, you can see Oklahoma.
So that's your take it to the window. That's your easy money, take it to the window.
Yep. Yeah. And well, in a perfect world, you do a teaser. You do a 6-point teaser, which means you bet 2 games, you get 6 points, knock off both spreads. Tease Oklahoma, it's 1/2. Tease LSU just to win. Oklahoma, LSU teaser, my 4-star lock of the week. I will be betting that. That's a bet I'd love to make.
Four stars? So what is that? How many stars are there? There's 4 stars then, or is there 5?
This is a 4 out of 4 stars. This is my my 4-star lock of the week. That lock it in, Chris. You have a TCU battle point here. I don't think so, but man, 2 weeks of being pissed off. I expect a great performance from Oklahoma after that bitter taste left in their mouth from Texas.
Could be my take it to the window. Easy money is the. Nebraska will finally get a victory as a 3.5-point favorite, home favorite at Minnesota. My other one is taking to the window. LSU will win at home. I'm right there with you. I like that little parlay, though. I like the little combination thing you got going there. I like that.
Yeah.
Not the whole parlay, but yeah, I agree with you. I think I'm with you on the 4-star thingamajinger. Oregon at home and for that Stanford game. They won one of them. Now they're away from Eugene. They get a chance to prove how real they are on the road against Washington State, who just got ranked. You know, this is about pole position at this point. Pole position within the Pac-12. So this game, I do actually like Oregon. This one's under my hardcore barn burner section. I think it's going to be a really good game. I like Oregon to get it done, but it's going to be a good game. And also Maryland at Iowa. Which Maryland team shows up? We have no clue. We have no clue which team is going to show up, but we do know that the Hawkeyes, you know, they're built to play tough, disciplined defense and wear down the opposition with the running game, which is a perfect ingredient to contain the Terrapins' option attack, the option on the sidelines, and keep moving it. So that's a good game there, though. I really – that's under my hardcore barn burner as well. I also think Colorado will sneak under the 15.5 points that they're labeled as an underdog, although Washington losing may come with a vengeance. The Husky may come with a vengeance, so maybe that's not as good of a play at this moment. What do you think about that Oregon-Washington State game? Is Oregon get a little too high on their horse and all of a sudden drop one, or you think that they'll get the job done? And I mean, that, like I said, that Maryland-Iowa game, man, that to me, that's kind of a toss-up, because when Maryland's good, they're great.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking the same thing. Iowa's favored by 9. I think that's a little high. I mean, Maryland, they beat Texas handily. And like you said, when they're rolling, they're a good team. And they're going through the kind of adversity of the player situation. I think that's finally getting organized. Unfortunately, I don't think people followed protocol as they should have. Unfortunately, cost the young man his life. But that could have been a massive setback, which you'd understand. Maybe they've used the season time to that player's name. Unfortunately, a lot of times in sports, when tragedies happen, it normally helps teams fight on for a good year. Or with hurricanes lately, it seems like a hurricane professional sports, if your city has something dramatic happen, you normally like go to the Super Bowl or title or something. It's weird how that plays out, so I could see that being a factor for them. And yeah, and Iowa, heck, they're in the driver's seat to win they're part of the Big Ten. They beat Wisconsin and lost. I was looking at playing a Big Ten title game right now. But this would not be a game you should just like kind of look past. This would be one that they could slip up on. Stanley has done a good job of quarterback this year. I was pretty tough on him last year. I think he's continuing to progress as a quarterback. So I would like – but that would be a fun game to watch, man. 11 o'clock kickoff, that on with Sparty and Michigan on the other side. Get a little Big Ten morning action. So yeah, I would pick Iowa to win the game, Chris, but I would not like the 9 points. I think that's a little too crazy and high. And then speaking of also unfortunate situations, the Washington State, no one really picked them to do that good this year. You know, Mike Leach was wanting to leave. He almost did leave for a new job, so that had to be a little awkward. You had a quarterback, unfortunately, dealing with some mental health issues and committed suicide. And so it's just kind of a really weird offseason where you lose a beloved player, your head coach wants to dip out of town, and now all of a sudden you're 5-1 and you're ranked. They did lose to USC in a back-and-forth scoring game. That's their one loss. But you beat Utah, and Utah's pretty damn good. You took care of business with Oregon State, so now you have your first true test. I'll rip on USC. They're not a great team this year. Now you have your first true big game. Game day is there in the morning, 6:30 game on Fox in the afternoon. If you're Central Time, I'm guessing Gus Johnson's probably calling the game. I mean, everything's kind of gearing up for Wazoo to maybe this game, Chris, could be one that maybe kind of let some stuff go, you know? You can maybe forget about the drama of the offseason. Yeah, they have nothing to lose in this game, absolutely.
Right.
They weren't expected to have a phenomenal year, but they are. I mean, you have a coach who has one of the best offensive minds in the world, and he's back there, you know, and he's probably focused with his job now. So I think a lot of signs point to go towards Wazoo. You mentioned that Oregon's only favored by 3, so it's nothing crazy outlandish there. I would stay away from betting this game. I think it's too many emotions on different angles. Like you said, this could be an Oregon letdown. I would assume Herbert's going to put up his numbers, but yeah, I will take Wazoo with the upset. There's something always kind of fun about having a game day there. It's a fun morning. They're the one school that whenever you watch game day, they always have a flag brought around. There's always a flag of Washington State that gets mailed to different campuses, and you always see their flag being sent there. Wherever game day you ever watch, there's always Wazoo flags. So maybe that good karma will roll into the game for them to get one of their biggest wins probably in a long time, which they could probably really need for a team overall.
Yeah, and they are. Vegas has them as the a 3-point favorite, actually.
Oregon?
No, they got Washington.
Really?
They got Washington.
I must completely misread that. I thought that it said Oregon was favored. I maybe was looking at the – I was confusing myself. All right. Wow. That's definitely a sign of respect then.
And you're on the side of the ESPN Football Power Index. So, yeah, dude, this is a good one. This is little pick.
Oh,
I like that. Yeah, that's nice. That's really nice. So a couple other hardcore barn burners that are probably worth watching. Vandy's not bad, but at Kentucky at home, that they probably will handle that. USC and Utah at Utah be very interesting. Not that it really matters, but Arizona and UCLA could be a tight game. The game that's going on right now is probably going to be a tight game with Stanford and ASU, Sun Devils. Any other games you want to mention for the hardcore fans, or do you want to get to the crafty pick of the week?
I would just say that watching Mizzou play at Memphis should be fun. I heard a lot of love about this Darrell Henderson running back from Memphis. He might be one of the most explosive, fun players to watch in all of the country, hands down. And if he wasn't on Memphis, he'd probably be in a lot of love. He has 110 carries this year for 1,133 yards. So he's averaging 11.3 yards a carry.
13 touchdowns. Jesus criminy.
The dude has a different speed. Again, I'm not sure how Memphis got him, but if you want to watch a guy that can, like, legit just run, this is a game to watch. Mizzou, they need this win. They've been just freaking treading water for the past 3-4 years. Now, it's supposed to be a nice win for them. Memphis is like a 9-point favorite, which is just outrageous. You should see a lot of fun offense this game. So if you want to just watch a game for fun with a lot of points, SEC Network, 3 o'clock, watch Mizzou Memphis. And watch Darrell Henderson. I haven't seen him until last week, and he pretty much almost cost me my bet against UCF. The first half, UCF couldn't stop him to save their life. He had 188 total yards of offense in the first half last week. I mean, the dude's a freak. He's fun to watch. I think he busted up his knee a little bit last week, so he's a little slower in the second half, but turned that game on for a lot of points. And I have a very fun game for you to pick for the crafty pick of the week.
You had to go back to it, didn't you? You couldn't just say crafty pick. Remember, we said we weren't going to say that anymore. You screwed it over, man. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
All right, okay. So I'm going to ask you one question first. I want you to guess at the total amount of wins right now in the season for these two teams who are facing off.
Two.
Ding, ding, ding. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
All right.
So
I'm starting off hot.
You have Old Dominion. 1-6,
Old
Dominion.
Didn't they fuck me? They fucked me before, right? Oh, no, that's right. That was the one. Yeah, you're right. They beat Vatek. Yep.
So, yeah, the 1-6 Old Dominion, their one win of the year is freaking against Vatek, who I believe is
right. Wow.
Against Western Kentucky, who's 1-5. The game is at L.T. Smith Stadium in Bowling Green, Kentucky. So you got your little bit of a Calipari fan base down there, I'm sure, you know, some sort. Western Kentucky's -5. You have I believe the Western Kentucky, I think they're a bird. Western Kentucky, oh, no, they're the Hilltoppers. So they're
– yeah, the Hilltoppers. I remember them from college basketball, Hilltoppers.
Yeah, they always make those march runs. I'm not sure what a Hilltopper is. Dominion, I believe they're the Monarchs? No. Old Dominion, they're the – Christ.
The Skippers?
Dominion, shit.
The Owls.
Oh, are they the Owl?
I don't know.
Whatever.
I'm just throwing shit out there.
Yeah. One in five – against what do we got, brother? We got the one team that's freaking beat, not old one, but they beat Vatek. Besides that, they haven't won a damn game this year. What does your gut say for the Hilltoppers against the Monarchs in this doozy of a Conference USA battle.
So I just Googled the meaning of a hilltopper. And
okay.
As far as the Western Kentucky hilltopper, their name for the campus location in Bowling Green, Kentucky, the majority of the campus is atop a hill that overlooks the surrounding region. In 1911, much of the campus was moved atop of the hill.
Makes
students
sense.
Were seen carrying supplies up the hill. So, but the hilltopper is also in the Urban Dictionary known for a hilltopper is a rich bastard that lives on top of the hill. So I'm going with that one. That's the one I'm going with. Which makes sense. And if you look at a bunch of nice neighborhoods, no matter what community you're talking about, a lot of the times the nicer houses are up, just like if you think of uptown in Minneapolis. You know, there is something to that. There is something to that. Like, we're up here, we're looking down on you peasants, basically. And that actually has me thinking. I'm not going against the hill. I'm going against the hilltoppers. I'm with the peasants, okay? I'm with the average man. Okay. What the hell is Old Dominion? What is it?
They're the monarchs.
I'm with the monarchs. Now, the monarch just seems like an everyday average. Okay, I'm going to stop. This one's at LT Smith Stadium. If you look at Vivid Seats.
Yep.
As we speak, 156 tickets left for going as low as $17. The Hilltoppers, man, they're so snooty. They think they run the whole world. And sure, Old Dominion's only has one victory. But, you know, same with the Hilltoppers. So, I'm going all in.
Uh-oh.
With the road team. I'm going against the ESPN Football Power Index Predictor. F that thing. That's the Elite 2. That's another hilltopper in my mind. I'm going with the squad. Shouldn't have looked at the stats. Oh, my. I'm going with the squad that gives up 39 points a game. Ugh, man. Ouch. And they give up a ton of rushing yards. The problem is the Hilltoppers, I guess, they're not climbing up the hill. They're climbing down. They can't run the ball. So I'm sticking with my gun. I don't care. I shouldn't have looked at the stat, but I'm going, oh my God, they're just horrible. Okay. I'm going with Old Dominion. I don't care. Five and a half point dog. I'm going with Old Dominion for the upset shocker of the week. That's what I'm going with. I don't know why, but I found a reason, and that's all I need. That's all I need. And by the way, set of the week, Arizona will beat UCLA as a 7.5-point road dog, just so you know.
Ooh.
Go Old Dominion.
Old
Dominion.
Let me just tell you, Rich Rod's son, starting quarterback, Khalil Tate's out. Rich Rod's son is playing quarterback for the Zona Cats.
Well, you know, he was hurt already, Tate. He hasn't been the same anyway, so
true.
It might as well. You know, Rich Rod knows the system. Oh, wait, he's not there anymore. I don't know. I take that back, then. How's that? But I don't take back the freaking Monarchs. Forget the Hilltoppers. I'm with the peasants. Let's get out of here.
All right. As always, thanks for listening. We love doing this. It's been another fun year of college football. I know that's a very easy sentence to say. Last week was just, I mean, it was nonstop TV. If you're a college football fan, hopefully you had a Jack and Coke in hand or whatever you like to drink and just kick back and enjoyed a ton of football. This week, bet LSU, bet Oklahoma, tease them together, make yourself some money. Come join us back next week. As always, have a nice, safe weekend with the family. Enjoy football. The boys are out tonight. Peace.